This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world. Whatever the problem, I know that my God will see you through. What an awesome testimony. He will see you through. We can be confident because he's God all by himself. Whatever the problem, he will see you through. I failed to announce early, and thank you, Reverend George, that you're cordially invited to attend the 4th Annual Jazz Benefit Concert sponsored by the Congregation of Mikveh Israel and the Mod Deporah Society of Savannah. We're asking that you would attend this. This will be on next Sunday at 4 o'clock, Sunday, June 26th at 4 o'clock. The reason I mentioned it so early is that if you get your tickets now, the tickets are just $45 for adults, $15 for youth. The tickets will go up after June the 10th, and tickets are available here at the church. Tickets are available here at First African Baptist Church. So please get your tickets for this 4th Annual Jazz Benefit Concert for the Martin DePorres Society of Savannah. They do great work, and we're asking that we would support this endeavor. Thank you so much. Also, one other birthday. I think we have a birthday on tomorrow. Our own brother, Aaron D. Amen. Thank you, Brother Aaron. Brother Aaron. Yes. All right. Let's turn to our scripture. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 19 through 21. Romans chapter 12, verse 19 through 21. I'll be reading from ESV. Hallelujah. Excited. It reads, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Let us pray. God, our creator, sustainer, redeemer, we ask right now in a special way that you would speak to us, we your servants, that we might hear your word, but not just hear, that we may be followers to do the work you've called us to do for such a time as this. Bless us now, God, that we can be a blessing unto others. Preach, Holy Ghost, preach. Let your word come forth. Let us receive. Let us follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Our subject today, what should we pray? What should we pray? What's the big deal about Pastor TNT 40? What's the big deal about Pastor TNT 40? And how is this celebration different from the other 39? Well, let me say I thank you for these years. I thank you for these years as pastor of First African Baptist Church, these 40 years. I thank you. My wife and our children thank you, and on some occasions they even publicly thank you during these appreciation times. So we say thank you for all that you've done. But I acknowledge that the real thanks go to God. God has brought us through these 40 years. God has brought you through 40 years having to put up with me. God has brought us together through these 40 years that we can grow and be more of what he would have us to be. So I give God the praise. It's God that did this, and God needs to get the glory. Now, I know some people, nobody said this to me, but I know sometimes folks get things twisted, so I want to set the record straight so we'll be able to move forward in what God has placed in my heart for us to do. It's not that we don't need or want more money. We have a bathroom to renovate. We have to paint the interior of our house. We need to finish paying off the renovations of our kitchen. The dryer almost died this month. Trinil's engine just went out on her car, and she's probably going to need a new car, hashtag new car. Lauren just moved to Madison, Wisconsin. And then there's Tramiel, who does his best to be independent. We can use the money. But there is a greater need in our community. There's a greater need in our city. There's a greater need in our county. There's a greater need in our country. There's a greater need in this world. And God wants these needs to be addressed. And he needs us to address it. This world has a sickness that needs to be cured. And this sickness is not of God. It's not pleasing to God. We need healing. This hatred and meanness and racism and disregard for human life needs to be addressed, and something needs to be done. Our elected officials admit it's out of their hands. They can't do it. Well, they say that now. But you know, when everybody's running, they know exactly how to fix all the violence when they're campaigning. But when they get elected, it's like, oh, we just don't know what to do. And I respect that, because being honest, they really don't. And of course, we don't. So for this Pastor TNT 40, it's an attempt to take a stab at dealing with the violence in our community, in our state, in this nation, and this world. It's bigger than me and mine. It's bigger than what I want. We're looking at what it is that God wants and what God desires. So we begin by addressing this whole thing with prayer. And I'll admit that when we started out, we got committed together and they were making plans and everything else. And it was Reverend Odie Luckett. I don't want to ever take that from him. Reverend Odie Luckett said, Pastor, but have we taken the time to be in prayer about it so God can direct us? We're stabbing at this thing. We're trying to figure out what it is we can do in the community to make a difference. But what has God said? And I took a step back and said, you're right. Even as our ministers met together and prayed, we said every group need to get together and pray. I did say that, right? The ministers got together and we prayed. And as we prayed, we're praying for guidance. We're praying for direction on what God would have us to do. So that's why we pray. We've been praying for God's guidance in what we ought to do. As groups, as a church, as individuals, what is it that we ought to do? God, give us your guidance. Give us your direction on what it is you're calling us to do. And God responds through his spirit who lives in us and through his word, which is a lamp unto our pathway. God will tell us those things we need to do. You do realize that there's still a war going on in Ukraine. People are still dying. Families are being separated and devastated. We have experienced the violence in Buffalo, New York, when this young man, this young white man, went into a black neighborhood and traumatized an entire nation, not just that community, but traumatized us by killing 10 people and wounding 3 others at Topps grocery store. And yet, in the same month, 2 weeks later, in Uvalde, Texas, 19 children, 2 teachers killed. We've seen this. Also in May, right here in Savannah, we've had a number of shootings. Some ended with lives being taken way too soon. Some being shot, others being killed, others being shot at. Just a lot of violence around. And everybody is saying that it's supposed to get worse. That when the temperature rises, the tempers rise. But what are we, the people of God, to do? What are we to do? Well, again, we start with prayer. I know people get tired of folks saying, my thoughts and prayers are with you. My thoughts and prayers are with you. Well, let me say this. Prayer is a good place to start. It's a good place to start. Because when we say that and we mean it, we should be saying, I'm talking to God about how I can be of help in the situation. Now, if we're just praying just to pray, then prayer is worthless. But if we're praying because we're communicating with God, and understand what prayer is heart-to-God communication. It's not just telling God everything and then God run off and do it. He's not a cosmic bellhop. No, he's not that. But it's when we talk to God, God will speak back to us. And he'll speak back to us through his word. He'll speak back to us through his Holy Spirit that leads and guides us and directs us. So if we're to have a real plan of action, it starts with prayer. It starts and it ends with prayer. Prayer is the beginning. Prayer is communicating with God. It's a two-way communication. So for the pastor TNT 40, we start and we end with prayer. Now you ask the question, well, what do we pray? With all of this hatred, all of this anger, all of this injustice, what do we pray? What should I pray? What good does it do to pray? I want something done to these evil people. So why am I praying? Seeing that we need a transformation in our society and in this world that can come through existence through the power of prayer, let us look at a few things that we can pray and ask God to transform. First, we can ask God to transform the atmosphere. With all of this evil that exists, we want evil destroyed. Oh no. If somebody came at us with a knife, bigger knives are not the answer. Somebody has a gun, bigger guns, not the answer. More fussing is not the answer. More cussing is not. I don't understand why when we start fussing and cussing, we think the louder we get, the more we winning. You know, if I could throw in an extra cuss word. And when you finish all that fussing and cussing and getting mad and swinging and everything else, the problem's still there, but now you got a headache or ulcers go on top of it. I think we're understanding this is not the answer. Well, in this text, a part of this text, it looks like God agrees with us of what we want to see happen to others. Romans 12 and 20. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. How many of y'all start praising God when y'all saw that? He said, oh yeah, that's what I want. That's what I want. Oh yeah. Next time they talk about me, whatever, or next time they do something to me, oh yeah, they do something to my family, oh yeah, God, I want burning coals on their head. Yeah, third degree burns. God, burn them up, God, however you could do it, burn them. And when you look at this text, that's what it seems like you're doing. Pour coals of fire on their heads. I know somebody smiled at that. Said, oh yeah, God, go get them. Go get them. Go pour coals. But we got to get this in context so God can help us switch the atmosphere for what is being said in this text. Matter of fact, Paul Lilly takes this from Proverbs chapter 25, verse 21-22. And it reads, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Now, this quotation comes from the fact that the original admonition was more like this. Treat your enemy kindly, because that would increase your enemy's guilt. In other words, one of the signs they used to use for guilt was that people would literally take hot coals or charcoal and put them on their head, and they would carry it around in penance for the fact that they had done something wrong to someone else. That's what it is. They'll take hot coals, and that was a symbol of penance, that I'm sorry for that I've done. So when Paul is speaking to us, he's saying, yes, if somebody has done something evil to you, if your enemy has done something, be kind to your enemy. And by that, they will understand how unjust their actions were. The question is, can we truly trust God to handle that stuff for us? I want you to know you can trust God with handling the stuff that we can't handle. Many times you want to get back at somebody, you thought you got back at them, but you really didn't get back at them because now they're planning on how they could get back at you. And it goes on and on. What would happen if we had a community that if there was something that happened and something transpired in somebody's community and in our community, somebody hurt somebody else, and we didn't seek to hurt somebody else back? That's a lot of the issues that we're having in Savannah right now. When somebody gets shot, somebody who got shot want to shoot back. Somebody who shot them, somebody get killed, and I'm going to kill their cousin because they killed me. And it goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Where does it stop? Where does it stop? Where do these young people get this idea from that I got to get back at somebody else? Where did they get this idea that I'm so upset with you that I got to do something to you? There's a lot of rhetoric we have in the political field. There's a lot of rhetoric we have everywhere you look. There's somebody's upset with somebody, and we express it in angry terms. We express it through Facebook. We express it through Instagram. We express it in all kind of ways of how upset we are with others. But listen, God is telling us, he's calling us to something higher. We have to set the tone. We have to change the atmosphere all around us. And you don't know who's watching you. You don't know who's watching us. You don't know who's watching the churches. The worst thing that we could have is for even churches to say we don't get along with other churches. Pastors to say we can't get along with other pastors. We've been working very hard at putting that narrative together that as pastors we're working together. We may not agree on everything, but we're at least working together. And we're doing it in such a way, hopefully prayerfully, that people are not lying on social media saying that we at each other's throats. Because we are honestly doing our part to work together. We have to ask God to transform the atmosphere. Truth is realized in Ephesians chapter 6, if we could just remember Ephesians 6 and 12, we really begin to change the atmosphere, because it tells us in Ephesians 6 and 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And I know these spiritual forces, these evil forces in high places tend to get in us sometime. This stuff seems to get in us sometime, and we act out what the evil spirit's saying to do. And others get mad at us, they don't get mad at the evil spirit. You got to recognize, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. When you're upset with flesh and blood, whatever they've done, whatever they said, realize it's not them. Because that same person that seems to be a curse to you can be a blessing to you. But we have to change the atmosphere. And we're praying. What are we praying for? We're praying that God will transform the atmosphere. That's one of our prayers in our groups. That's one of the prayers that we're praying as we look to do something throughout this summer to make a difference in our community. Second, we can ask God to transform the attitude. As the atmosphere changes, the attitudes ought to change. How do we change our attitudes? Well, I'm glad, because this is what we as a Christian church ought to be about. And it's Romans 12, 9 through 18. In Romans 12, I read 9 through 18 in ESV. And listen, as I read this, if you say, well, I want to know what Pastor preached. Anybody else who's not here want to know what Pastor preached? Anybody else not who's listening, but then they're not listening, but you want to tell them what it is that was preached, tell them just to read Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 21, and they'll get the essence of this message. This is God speaking to us through his word as we pray. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. We kind of pause there. He's saying when you're doing these things to others, you're literally serving God. When you're being kind to others, you're being kind to God. Think about what he's saying there. Let's keep reading. Verse 12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. That's how you know whatever you're going through, he'll see you through. Whatever your circumstance or situation might be, you can trust God. That's how you can be patient in tribulation. He says, be constant in prayer. Yeah, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Here we go, verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Changing the attitude. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as what depends on you, live peaceably with all. In our text today. And continuing our text today. 19. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I just want that to sink in just for a second. I want to read that same text again from the Message Bible. Clears it down, everyday talk. Read that text once again. And honestly, believe it or not, I'll be done. We get that through the Message Bible. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. It reminds me of what somebody told me yesterday. Somebody came by my house, they come by my house yesterday, the day before, and they needed something. And they said to me, they said, Pastor, when I'm around you, now, listen, I've been trying for the longest to just see them, to talk to them about things going on in their life, and they've just been avoiding me for the last 2 or 3 weeks. I couldn't see them. They'll text me back, but I couldn't see them. So they needed something, and when they needed something, I said, I'm not doing it until I see you. And they came and sat in my presence and made this declaration. They said, Pastor, when I'm around you and with you, I have a desire to do the thing that's right. And I said, well, why don't you be around more people that would give you a desire to do what's right? And those people exist. Yeah, you are a part of those people that exist. And people have to have a desire to be around you and around us. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. It's not always about you. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the master. Cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Keep reading. Here we go. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Don't just keep doing the same old thing, the same old way, expecting different results. Be inventive in hospitality. Be inventive in how you help. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they are down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. Let me pause there. I know that we just think for some people there's no good in them at all. But there's some good in the worst. And there's some bad in the best. And we have to take time to look at each other as humans. We have to take time to look at each other as people. We have to take time to look at each other as someone who God loves. And God want to turn that behavior around. God want to turn that meanness around. God want to turn the racism around. God want to turn that injustice around. But he wants to use us to get it done, and he's telling us how we can be used by him to do it. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting evil. That's not for you to do. Yeah. I don't get back. I get even. Yeah. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. That's what God says. I'll take care of it. Can we trust God? That's the question. Can you trust God? God said, I'll take care of it. Our scripture tells us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Lastly, 21. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. As a nation, as a people, as humans, we have to shift the narrative. We got to change the attitude. Hate cannot drive us. Fear cannot rule us. Our attitude has to be transformed to an attitude of Christ. Lastly, we can ask God to transform the adversary. That's it. We can ask God to transform the adversary. If God would just change and transform the enemy, things would just work out. Amen? If God would do something with your number one enemy, your life would be so much better, wouldn't it? Just that one, the main enemy in your life, if God could just do something and transform the main enemy, you'll be all right the rest of your life. And y'all have to tell me the author of it. I forgot the author who said this. You can shout it out if you know it. But it said, I have found the enemy, and it is I. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. I can't tell you how many times I preach sermons and folk have come to tell me, Pastor, that was a great sermon. I wish they heard it. I'm standing there saying, what about you? Did you hear it? Because if you heard it, you would have said that about them. It's me. No, I'm stopping right there. It's me. Can we ever get to the point to say, Lord, I need you to work on me. I need you to transform me. I need you to work in me and change my mind, change my heart, change the way I'm thinking. Correct me up. Fill me up with your spirit that I could be what you want me to be. We all know what's wrong with everybody else. We all know what she did. We all know what he did. We all know what they said on Facebook. We all know what they said on Instagram. We all know what they're talking about. And we could join in with them. Yeah, me too. That's what I think. I knew it all the time. How come you didn't know that? Oh, I did know that. You just found this out? But when they start talking about you, it hurts. You got to realize you got to stop doing the stuff to other folks you want folks to do. This is why I love to say this to us. We get this. Treat other people the way you want God to treat you. That's it. Not treat other people the way you want other people to treat you. Treat other people the way you want God to treat you. Because every last one of us want God to forgive us of everything. What would happen if we had an atmosphere and if we had an attitude that we're forgiving folk for everything? And we're leaving it up to God to do the judging. We're leaving it up to God to do the correction. We're leaving up to God to make the difference. We have some folk that we're just so upset with, we won't talk to because of what they said or what they did or how they act. Well, how did you act? What did you say? What did you add to that fire? What did you throw in? What did you say on the side? What did you tell somebody to say? And you know when you give it to somebody else to bring it to somebody, you know they're going to add something that you didn't say to it to make it sound like you said it, something more than you said. The bottom line is we're asking God to transform us, transform the attitude, transform the atmosphere, transform the advisory, transform us, God, that we can be the men and women that he's called us to be so we can do the work he's called us to do. Amen. We have to work. This summer, we have to work. We have to get together. Our community is depending upon us. And we also have church in Macon and a church in Athens, in the Augusta area. Reverend Perry's working with us. Reverend Little's working with us. Reverend Luckett's working with us. And all the others who have been connected with First African Baptist Church. And we're going to transform. We're going to move throughout just Savannah because there are folk that need us. I know you say, well, what can I do? Well, first just pray and ask God to transform you. Pray and ask God to change this attitude. Ask God to change the atmosphere. We're praying together in groups and then deciding as groups what it is we can literally do after we pray and plan. Our community needs us. And listen, if but for the grace of God, it could be our children getting killed on the streets. And in fact, they are our children. And we need to do our part to transform the whole situation so God can get glory. He called us to do that. Well, He's empowered us to do it also. How has He empowered us? Because the Holy Spirit lives in us. Jesus came through 42 generations. He went about doing good. But look at what He did. Before He died on the cross, He was an example of how we ought to live, how we ought to love, how we ought to forgive. He was our example. Even as He hung on the cross for your sins and my sins, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As He hung on the cross, there was one who was a convicted felon. On the cross, a convicted felon. He had death. He had the death penalty, and he was dying because of what he had done. Jesus could have looked at him and said, oh, you're a bad person. You need to die, and hell is prepared for you. But when He said, Lord, when you get to your kingdom, remember me. In Jesus' compassion, that's what He has, compassion. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He saved one from the cross who was yet dying, off death row. We get so upset with so many people, and yet God is calling us. The way to transform our community and our society is to transform our thinking. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Look at what He did. He died. Oh yes, He died. Nails in His hand, nails in His feet, crown of thorns on His head. He died for all of your sins, all of my sins. But the story doesn't stop there. The place in the borrowed tomb, He stayed there all night Friday, all day Saturday, all night Saturday. But early on that Sunday morning, He got up from the grave with power. Power over the grave, victory over death. He was on this earth 40 more days. And then He ascended into heaven and sent back the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. That when we pray, then when we talk to Him, He'll speak back to us. He'll let us know what we ought to do. If you're here today and you realize, I need a relationship with the Lord. Because you really can't do the work. You can work at it, but you really can't do it with any joy and any understanding until you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. If you're saying, you know, I need the Lord in my life right now, that's great to admit that. Because as pastor, it would be a travesty for me to pastor for 40 years or for me to be your pastor for 5 years, 10 years, 10 minutes, and you die and end up in hell. That's a waste. That's a waste of time, your energy. God loves you. And we're going to leave this place. Oh, yeah. Unless the Lord comes back first, we all are going to die. Amen. Somebody going to say, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But the personal relationship you need to have with Christ is to say, Lord, I have sinned. I'm sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe that Jesus died for my sins, rose from the grave. The Bible says, Romans 10:9, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raised from the dead, you shall be saved. It's not about you living perfect. It's not about you getting everything straight, everything perfect. It's about you trusting God enough with your salvation, trusting Him enough with your eternal life. So even if you're watching and you have not accepted Christ, we're going to pray a prayer now that you can pray. You can pray this prayer with me right now to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior because you believe that He died. You believe that He got up. You believe He's coming back again. You believe that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You can pray this prayer with me. And I'm going to pause so as you pray, even those who are watching on social media, as we pray, I'll give you an opportunity to repeat these words after me if you want the Lord in your life. Say, Father God, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life and help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you, God, for saving me right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you accepted Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, we ask that you would, those who are at home, go ahead and text that number that you see on the screen. Go ahead and text the word saved to that number you see on the screen. 912, yeah, that number that you see on the screen. Text that number and text the word saved. If you're a guest, you can text that to that number, you can text the word guest, and we'll welcome you to be with us first happening. Those of you who are with us here in the sanctuary, if there's anyone who would like to accept Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, and you're here, you prayed the prayer, you can come and sit on the first pews, and we'll address that with you, that you can first, because you prayed the prayer, you are now a disciple of Jesus Christ. Come on, everybody say hallelujah. Come on, thank God for you. Hallelujah. Secondly, you can also be a member of First African Baptist Church if you'd like to do that. And we'd love to have you to join, be a part of First African. We will have baptism on next Sunday. So if you haven't been baptized, you want to be saved, and you want to be baptized, come and join this Sunday. We'll baptize you on next Sunday. Just let us know that, and we'll do that. We're going to ask as we prepare to leave, if you have not given, please make sure that you give in the envelopes or just give in the offering in the black box in the back. As you leave, we ask that you would give, that God will get the praise, the honor, and the glory. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. We have one to come, and right at the benediction, we're going to go ahead and get that done. So please, don't forget to give. Don't forget to share with others. And those who are watching online, please share this with others, that others may join us in our effort to reach the least, the last, the lost for Christ, on this, especially through this summer. As you leave, make sure that the ushers will escort you or tell your pew when to leave. We still stay in space. We're very cognizant still of COVID-19, and let me thank you for wearing your mask. Let me thank you for doing that. I know sometimes it gets intrusive and we don't really want to do that, but let me say thank you so much for coming to be in worship with us here at First African Baptist Church and for wearing your mask. So as you leave, please do that. Follow, after the benediction, please follow the instructions of our ushers, and we thank God again for you. Let's not forget that at 6:30, all First African Baptist Church, if you, with your groups, we ask that you would please join us online for our Zoom at 6:30 to pray with the group that you're affiliated with. Again, we give you praise, honor, and glory. Did I forget anything? Let us pray. God, we thank you, we love you, we adore you, magnify your name. Thank you for the opportunity to come and to worship you. Bless us now, God, as we seek to be a blessing unto others. And now we ask that the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit would rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let the people of God say amen and praise God. Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you, and thank you for worshiping with us.